And welcome into the Wednesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. What's going on, peeps? Joe Rex Road, how are we doing?
We're doing just great. How are we doing?
Oh, we're
doing
great.
As in you.
Well, we're doing awesome.
Good.
This is a great day here. Ryan Porth, how are we doing?
What makes it a great day?
Just a great day. It's a great day to be alive.
That we woke up this morning.
I mean, it's a good start.
You got
as
it
TV
right.
Says every week. That's the best start to the day.
It's a good philosophy.
If you wake up, you're winning.
If you wake up, you're winning. And we're all winning so far today.
Wake up and put on that hat, you're winning even more.
Yeah, you know, he had the product in his hair yesterday. We knew it was a big day.
There's no major press conference coming up at
a little bit less so today.
As far as we know.
No press conference today. How about that? That was pretty cool yesterday. Pecorine, his press conference, obviously announcing his retirement. Yesterday at Bridgestone Arena. Number one, Joe, it was pretty awesome to be in the building for a press conference. That was kind of my first takeaway of, oh, man, Zoom sucked. It's great to be back in here and actually be able to talk to people. That was awesome.
Yes. Long time coming. 16 months by my count.
Yeah.
And that was good, just to interact with humans.
David Poyle loved it.
David Poyle, yeah. David Poyle liked hanging out with the media.
Yeah.
Although some of us are mean.
Yeah.
David Poyle enjoyed being in the scrum with the media.
He did.
He had some good stuff to say.
He did. It was good stuff yesterday. We've got a lot to react to today. Here with the retirement of Pecorine, some comments obviously from Pekka yesterday, both in his press conference and on his appearance with Darren Donick and Chase yesterday as well. And speaking of Darren Donick and Chase, I mean, they had the who's who of the lineup yesterday. There was people joining the show all over the place yesterday. Mike Fisher was on the show, Carter Hutton, Barry Trotz. Kevin Klein, it was all over the place yesterday on Darren Donick and Chase.
Mike Fisher with Pecorine.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a nice moment.
I mean, at one point, it was Darren Donick and Fisher. Chase was off emceeing another event. So Fish just hopped on there. Going to be the co-host of the show.
Live from Canada, having just been able to get back into Canada.
Yeah. It was good stuff yesterday, and we'll get a lot to that. Got a lot to get to on that front coming up later in the show as well. Some special guests of our own later coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. Craig Custance and former Predator Jordan Tutu as well coming up at 9:30. But I want to start with Pekka's press conference yesterday. We spent a lot of time on the show yesterday going through memories that fans have and the best memories, the most fond memories of Pecorine here in Nashville. We'll continue to do that throughout the show today on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. But part of what I want to get to today and get fans' opinions on as well is what exactly is Pecorine's legacy here in Nashville now that it officially is over, now that he is retired from the NHL? What is Pecorine's legacy here with the Predators in this city? And I asked Pekka that question yesterday at his press conference. What does he want his legacy to be? Here was Pecorine's response yesterday at Bridgestone Arena.
Hey, Pekka, congratulations.
Thank you.
Just wondering, what do you want your legacy in this town, in this city, this organization? What do you want that legacy to be?
I don't know. I'm not prepared. I don't know. Obviously, there's two sides. One is being a hockey player. I hope that people see me as a hardworking guy, team guy. That's my wish. Off the ice, just a everyday man, just a man of the people. I mean, I feel like that's who I am, and I don't think that in that aspect I don't really have expectations how people should remember me, but. I do take pride in the charity work we've done, but yeah.
So that was Pecorine at his press conference yesterday, describing what he wants his legacy to be, and he didn't go too far into it from a hockey perspective, and talked about being a hard worker on the ice and a man of the people off the ice, which I think certainly fits Pecorine. But Joe Rexroad, let me ask you. As you look at Pecorine, the totality of his career here with the Predators, what he's accomplished both on the ice and his impact off the ice as well, what do you think Pecorine's legacy in Nashville is? What do you think it will be as we get a few years down the road and look back on the career that was with Pecorine?
Well, first of all, I'm glad, you know, good question that elicited a good response.
Thank you.
It's the lead quote right here in my column. So, you know. That, yeah, very good. A man of the people that got some chuckles from the that was pretty good. You know, his legacy, look, I think a lot of people would say, you know, look at what he's done. And we talked about it a lot yesterday. We'll talk about it a lot today, too. Look what he's done apart from hockey, bigger than hockey, separate from hockey. It's also being a great hockey player that, you know, enables that to happen more, I think, right? And also just, I mean, naturally, when you're in a place for as long as he was and you're as good as he was and you're as visible as he was, then you also have a bigger platform. But he used it well. So I'm terrible at crystallizing like legacy in a small, you know, description, but he's the greatest player in franchise history. And I think David Poile said it well yesterday, like, who's done more? And he admitted he's biased because, you know, we're comparing Predators and Titans here,
sure,
in this thing, but who's done more, you know, in his time? I mean, Poile said he's the most influential athlete in the state.
Yeah,
You know, since Poile's been here, so I mean that means since like there has been pro sports in the state. And hey, I know that there are people who don't care about hockey who would probably argue against that. But even if you don't like hockey in this, you know, and you live in the state, you tell me you don't know who Pekka Rinne is or have a good feel for, you know, for what he is. I think that's doubtful. So. I just didn't give you any kind of a good answer there other than
he did a great job.
I mean, I'm just rambling, really. But, I mean, he's the greatest player in franchise history, and I think he sets the standard for what you want a professional athlete to be as an all-around person. I mean, again, I'm still waiting. Like, I want today, we have 4 hours, I want someone today to text or call in with, like, an example of Pekka Rinne, like, jaywalking. Being mean, not leaving 20% tip.
Yeah.
Like, there's got to be something.
There's always
something. So that's the challenge now.
I mean, he got on Darren Donica Chase yesterday, and he's like, you guys are making me out to be like a saint.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm not.
Yeah. Okay. Let's hear.
Oh, come on then. Yeah. Give me an example.
Did you burn the fish last night?
Yes.
Like, what? Let's get. I mean, we need to. Like, did you not change the diaper well?
Yeah.
I mean, there's
something to be desired there.
I want evidence that he's human.
Did you not give the awkward hello, you know, hand gesture through the neighborhood as you're passing by someone you've never seen before? Like
What? Once again, well said by Ryan Ford.
No, you know when you're driving through a neighborhood and you pass someone walking on the sidewalk and you just
wave, yeah.
Wave? Like maybe he didn't do that one day.
Oh, maybe not.
So wait, are you
saying...
Is that
what we're getting to there?
Are you all saying right. that yes. that's a specific Rene thing? The awkward
no.
wave?
No, okay. That is an everyday human life thing.
Yes.
I was on a walk yesterday and, you know, cars drove by and it's like... The awkward, like, hello, I don't know who you are.
You do that.
I'm going to wave. Oh, yeah.
Good. Good for you. Yeah. I bet you Pekka Rinne does
that. I bet
that.
He does, too.
Yeah, like, I'd be disappointed if he actually didn't wave it randomly at any stranger. There's another one. Anybody have an example? If you've driven by Pekka Rinne ever and he didn't give you a weird wave.
Let us know on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
There's got to be something.
615-737-1025. Well, I think when I think of legacy for Pekka Rinne, I mean, the off-the-ice stuff, I think kind of speaks for itself. He's wonderful in this community. He is an asset in this community that is just – it's really hard to put into words. The work that he's done, not only with the 365 Fund, with he and Shea Weber, and, you know, they've raised over $3 million for that, but, you know, his involvement with Best Buddies and, quite frankly, his involvement with things that you and I – don't really even know about. Like I remember after the tornadoes hit here in Nashville, I got like 3 text messages a few days later about like, hey, I was in the hardware store and Pekka Rinne was in there like buying up all the flashlights and handing them out to people. Like it's just things that he gets no notoriety for. I mean, I can only imagine the different examples that people could have of Pekka Rinne doing things away from the limelight. And Shea Weber was largely the same way while he was here. They didn't really seek out, you know, publicity for all these things they were doing. It's just something that they wanted to do. And I think that speaks for itself. I think on the ice, number one, I think it's important for your franchise at some point to have a player that everybody identifies with as, okay, when I think about the Nashville Predators or I think about the Dallas Cowboys, here's who I think of. And they have that now. I mean, this is Pecorine's team. This is Pecorine's franchise. And I think part of the legacy is just his stick-to-itiveness, right? Like, he had options. He could have gone to free agency before, and he is really the first, I think, homegrown superstar that they had that elected to stay. I mean, I think that's part of what his legacy is, I mean, and we're going to talk about yesterday, I mean, just a crazy situation with the Minnesota Wild, but at one time, Ryan Suter, Shea Weber, Pecorine, that was the trifecta here in Nashville, and that was the first kind of homegrown superstar trio that they had. And yes, Shea Weber was here for a long time, but he signed an offer sheet with another team. And there's a lot that goes into Shea Weber signing an offer sheet with another team. That doesn't mean that he just automatically wanted to be in Philadelphia. He wanted a 14-year contract, and he didn't care where it was. I don't blame him. But Pekka was the first guy to just say, you know what? I don't care if Ryan Suter's signing long-term. At that point, Shea Weber wasn't signed. I don't care if Shea Weber's signing long-term. This is the team I want to be on. This is the place I want to be. And he signed a 7-year deal before those two guys ever got to free agency. I mean, that to me is part of his legacy. He was the first one, I think, to really choose to be here and to stay here as a homegrown superstar. And I think that's part of it. And that just shows kind of the beginning of that relationship. And then towards you got to the end. I still think it's fascinating given the options that he had. I would assume he had options to go back and play in Finland too. It's fascinating to me that apparently the options in his head was, okay, I'm either coming back to the Predators or I'm retiring from hockey. And that seems to be what his options were in his head.
Yeah, well, and I think both things speak to, you know, loyalty to the organization, which is not common. And look, I don't blame anyone for not having loyalty in terms of, you know, being an athlete, a professional athlete, because we know how it goes on the other end, you know?
Yep.
I mean, it's just a rare situation. I was thinking about this yesterday. I mean, Mike Fisher would be one example, but there aren't many of like a good ending between player and franchise. I mean, Shea Weber didn't have one.
No.
You know, I think most people would probably put him number two, right? After Pecorine in the list of greatest players.
I would say
franchise
so.
History. I mean, that
Yossi's getting up there, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And the homegrown part of it is a good point too, because if we're going to talk about different teams and different sports, I mean, that is where, you know, McNair and George, of course, were Houston Oilers
yep.
to start their careers. And that is an obvious difference between these two franchises. You know, now, Derrick Henry, I think, is also, you talk about Roman Yossi. Derrick Henry's a guy who I don't think could be any more popular. But the hard part there is that position, the nature of that league. You know, it may not be long. As great as he is right now in his prime, and Pecorine, I mean, 15 years. That's something special, something rare. So I think that's part of the legacy too. Is just that it's a very uncommon story, and starting with just the finding of Pecorine, yeah. The whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's an incredible story from start to finish, and a nice ending to it yesterday. I know yesterday for a lot of people was a sad day with Pecorine retiring from the NHL and from the Nashville Predators. I thought also just kind of a day of celebration, and I think he enjoyed it. I was honestly kind of surprised there weren't more tears. I guess he's gotten that out of his way, and he kind of talked about that. You know, he's had the time to go through that and get that out of the way at this point. But I thought all in all, a pretty special day yesterday at Bridgestone Arena, and the Predators did a wonderful job honoring him, and Pecorine gracious and humble as he always is in his public comments as well. And that's got us asking the question to you as well. What is Pecorine's legacy here in Nashville? Let us know on our text line and our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll get more into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
David, you've seen a lot of athletes come through this city, not just this franchise. Where do you think Pekka's legacy will rank, not just on the ice but off it as well?
Yeah, I'm I should be a little prejudiced here, but I mean, to me, he's, in my years here, he's been the most influential athlete here in Tennessee. I mean, unbelievable. The things that he's done on the ice, the importance that he's been to creating an environment where the level of hockey has been so high. Lot, and then of course you combine that with the, as I would call, a complete person that does all of the things off the ice. I mean, who has done more for the community than Pekka Rinne has in his time here? Who has done more for the individual sport than Pekka Rinne? The most important athlete that we've had in the time that he's been here.
That was Nashville Predators general manager David Poile yesterday following Pekka Rinne's press conference, saying he's the most important athlete that they've had in this state in his time here. And that's pretty strong words from David Poile yesterday. And again, you can probably go around the room to each person listening to this, and they would have a different opinion on the most important athlete in the state over the course of the past 20, 22, 23 years or so. But Pekka Rinne certainly, if he's not at the top of the list, he's certainly near the top of the list when it comes to the most influential athletes that we've seen here in the state, especially since pro sports have come into the fold with the Predators, the Titans, and now Nashville SC, and I guess the Memphis Grizzlies as well in the mix out west.
Yep, you gotta include them.
Yeah, like Zach Randolph up there.
Zeebo.
Yeah.
Zeebo figured it out, man.
He did.
He was really good in Memphis. Conley, those guys. You gotta keep that in mind. Can't dismiss Memphis. It's not part of Mississippi.
It's close, but it's not part of Mississippi.
Let's get a Nashville-Memphis feud going today. We haven't had that in a while.
Oh, I mean, I feel like it's kind of always there, but we can get one fired back up.
Yeah.
Maybe that's something we could do here today on the show. But just taking your thoughts now on Pekka Rinne's legacy on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. I talked about kind of the on-ice part of this. And look, we went through moments yesterday of, you know, the 2011 playoffs where he was just awesome against Vancouver. You know, the Vezina Trophy season, the run through to the Cup Final in 2017. I mean, there's so many different moments you can go down with Pekka Rinne on the ice. But I think a lot of it is the way his teammates respond to him as well. And we're going to play some audio later in the show from Mike Fisher about the leadership that Pekka Rinne brought to the table as well. But I just such a popular guy in the room, and I think some of that comes from the personality, but it's one thing to be that popular in the room, but you also have to have a level of play that goes with it, I think, to really have that true impact in the room. And Pekka had that level of play with it. And it was interesting. His journey was different to get to the NHL. We've talked about the eighth round pick and how different that was, but he was, 20 years old when he was drafted. Most of these kids are 18 when they get drafted. So, I mean, he was right on the edge of having to go figure out something else to do, or at least stay over in Finland and have a career there. And the Predators find him. They get over here, and they notice pretty quickly that they've got something to work with. And he didn't get here maybe as quickly as some other guys. I mean, he spent a couple years in Milwaukee. I think he had a cup of coffee in the NHL. And then finally in 08-09 got here full-time. And that's when this team started to take off. And you could connect, and the guys on Darren Donica Chase were talking about this yesterday too. You can really connect every different era of Predators hockey with Pekka Rinne. I mean, he was talking yesterday about Thomas Vokoun, who was the first superstar goalie the Predators had here, and how nice Vokoun was to him when he first started to come around. Barry Trotz as well. He played for all three coaches this team has had, and I know there are a couple other guys that have done that as well. Roman Josi being another guy that's played for all three coaches that this team has had. But really, when Pekka Rinne got here, that's when this team transitioned from this nice story of an expansion team who started to get more talent towards the mid-2000s with Korea coming in. But then the ownership issues started to make the team fall apart, and they had to sell off all these pieces. But when Rinne got here, that was the first time that they really started to find some stability here, not only with ownership, but on the ice as well. And think about his career. I mean, they've made the playoffs, I think, every year, but maybe three times since he's been the full-time starting goaltender. It's pretty incredible to think about how often and how consistent this team has been the playoffs ever since he took over as the starting goalie.
Yeah, it's like different eras because, like you said, you had the now he wasn't he was just starting to get in there, right, when they had those loaded teams in the mid-2000s. Then you have a little dip, and then you know, eventually you transition to the Laviolette era, and that's the best era. So you kind of could divide it into three things. But again, amazing that one guy would be a part of all that. Another thing, a point that he made yesterday was, like, there was low pressure given his draft position.
Yep.
And he was given time to – I mean, that's the ideal way. Like, it wasn't like people are clamoring for Pekarina. Like, Askarov, you know, we're going to hear his name until we see him between the pipes, you know, or whatever happens there. You know, Pekarina, who was talking about him in 2006, 2007, 2008, right?
Not very many people.
Just a guy in the organization kind of developing. And, I mean, it's a good point by him. Like, there's a benefit to that that you don't have if you're picked high or you know, you go at 18 years old high in the draft. His story is also like an endorsement for that path and how – I mean, we even see it with some of these guys now. I mean, like with Ellie Tolvanen's a guy who it's like now, what, come on, what is this guy? You know, we thought about this year going in the year. It's like, God, he is 21 still,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And he's starting to become a good player. But, you know, that length of development in like three seasons, really, I mean, you got three, right? Three full seasons, not quite, I guess, in Milwaukee, but like two full.
Pretty significant amount of time, yeah. Yeah.
To finally figure it out. But I think he's also length of time, but just overall, just as a development, as a story of player development, pretty extraordinary one.
Well, and I'm not sure, you know, if he decided to move on this offseason and go join another team, or if, you know, the season continued to spiral out of control last year and they decided to move him at the deadline to give him a chance to win a cup. Would his legacy here have changed all that much? I mean, I think no. I think it would have been relatively similar. But I do think there is something very cool about having a guy join your team, be here for a long period of time, and not play for anybody else. And that's obviously something that was very important to Pekarina as well. And he talked about that yesterday at his press conference. Here's what Pekarina had to say about spending his entire career with the Predators.
Like I mentioned earlier, I'm so proud and fortunate that I've played in one organization all my career. So that truly was the only opportunity that was in my head. So there was two options, either retire or either continue playing with the Predators. I appreciate David and everybody else for giving me enough time to make this decision on my own and make a decision that I feel is the right one and deep down I do feel that. So, but yeah, I gave that a lot of thought.
So Pekka, obviously, I mean, and I think a lot of guys say this about how, you know, I'd love to spend my career with one team. I think that was legitimately important to him. I think he, as he was weighing his options, I mean, he could have gone elsewhere. He may even have been able to go elsewhere and get more playing time than he would have here in Nashville. He certainly could have gone back to Finland and played a lot had he wanted to do that. But I think it was pretty clearly important to him from an NHL standpoint that he wanted to start here and he wanted to finish here. And as you heard in that clip, those were the two options. I found that to be pretty interesting, especially given, you know, the reports that were coming out of Finland and his comments at the press conference to end the season about how he's going to leave every option on the table. It just seems like, Joe, that those were the two options in his head, and that was the decision that he was having to make over the course of the last few weeks and months here.
Yeah, and he did say, and I forget who asked him, but basically asked, like, how seriously did you actually consider coming back? And he said a lot, and well, I mean, I don't think there's any reason to doubt that. I mean, I don't think this was like, okay, I'm done. Let me just figure out when to have the press conference.
Right.
It is interesting, though. And, you know, he kind of dismissed that it was a factor. But it's funny when David Poile was talking about it. And I thought about it that night, too. It's like, gosh, I mean, who knows what will happen. But, it'd be kind of weird if he came back after that farewell, right? Like, you can't have a better farewell than that. Like, when – and it, Poyle was talking about – he was like – it's an awesome scene, but he's also sitting there like, go, no, 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 everybody like, stop doing this.
Like, tone it down a little bit,
You know? But clearly he wrestled with this, and, yeah, I think it's cool. I think it's very cool. The fact that it was Preds or nothing, the fact that it was only Preds for his career – I mean, maybe Pred's Facebook would, like, have some issue with Pekka, like, if he had, like, gone and tried to make a run, you know, got the deadline to some team. I don't
back
think it would
have. Tampa?
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
I don't think it would have changed Let's anything about what he is here. But
what would they be at that point? They'd be $23 million over the cap then. Then you can make new T-shirts. Instead of $18 million over, they'd be $23 over.
There you go. Yeah.
What's the difference?
Missed opportunity. Yeah.
Maybe in retrospect it could have happened. But, yeah, it's very cool that he spent his entire career with one team. And now the Predators, they've got to move on without Pecorino and figure out what that next era is going to look like. And that was kind of one of a big takeaway that we had yesterday from the press conference, truly feeling like an end of the era. We got a lot of your thoughts to get to as well on our text line and on our streaming platforms as well. Revolving around Pecorino's retirement from the NHL and from the Nashville Predators yesterday. We'll continue to get to that coming up next. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. ESPN 94.9 is the official English radio home of the Nashville Soccer Club. Listen in on Saturday night as Nashville SC takes on Chicago at Nissan Stadium. Pre-game starts at 7:15 and the match begins at 7:30. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well, discussing the retirement of Pecorino. And Joe Rex Road, you have come out with a piece at theathletic.com.
Did you know Joe writes for The Athletic?
Thank you. Way to slip that in, Porter.
Very nice. Well done. Discussing the end of an era for the Predators with Pecorino's retirement, the title of which, the Pecorino era is over for the Predators, but not for Nashville. What was it like putting this piece together? And is this truly the end of an era for the Nashville Predators now that Pecorino has officially retired?
It was painful, you know, trying to cook dinner for the kids, you know, trying to come up with words about this. I mean, it is tough to – here's the thing. I want to hear your opinion on my opinion because it's – I'm not strongly suggesting that, like, Pecorino retiring has some huge commentary on next season, but I will say that I've looked at this decision a little bit like – I mean, it's a little bit of commentary, right, from someone who certainly knows from the inside. To me, Pecorino is coming back if he thinks he can win a cup. Now,
I agree.
I don't think that – I mean, I think conventional wisdom is next year's team is not set up for that. But this is a little bit of confirmation to me that he feels that way. And, of course, he's never going to say
– sure.
And I don't think that that's – I mean, if you have the pie of – you know, you slice it up, like, what's the biggest factor here? It's still probably – his family, right? That's how I would look at it. I mean, you become – I think Chris Mason said it perfectly yesterday. You become a parent, and your entire view of the world changes. I mean, just things that were so important before are just way less important. That's just how it is. So I would still give that the biggest slice. But I did look at this and say, yeah, this is a little bit – just another kind of indication – you know, that 27-1 and the competitive series was nice and it was a good thing, but it doesn't mean that, you know, if Pecorino thought next year's team had a real chance to do it, I think that might have tilted him the other way, which, as he said yesterday, he was close. He did think hard about it. So am I reading too much into that?
No, like if the Predators would have made it to the conference final this year, or look, even the second round, but you feel great about the team you've got coming back and you feel like they're truly right on the doorstep of competing for a cup, I think he's back. Like, I don't think that's too much of a reach to say that. I mean, there's no secret. He wanted to win a Stanley Cup. That's Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well for your viewing pleasure, especially with Joe Rex Road's hair looks as good as it does today.
Hey, don't hate me for being beautiful, Robbie.
I don't hate you.
And
it's inspiring.
Kind of ugly, though.
Jeez.
MCMS. Mill Creek Middle School, baby.
Represent.
Right, parent shirt.
It's got to be getting close to football season, right? It's right around the corner.
Yeah. I mean, it's been.
I mean, obviously,
workouts
the NFL,
all summer.
But yeah.
Workouts all summer for the kids. Two-a-days. I think two-a-days start next week.
Is Mill Creek Middle School close to Mill Creek Brewery?
Yeah. Very good.
Right? Are they along Mill Creek?
They are, in fact.
You brought this up maybe 10 times on the show, haven't you?
Yeah. You keep talking about how you're going to show up at the brewery. I'm
let's do it.
I'm there, man.
There,
I'll get the smash burger.
I'm basically Norm there. So
that's right.
Know. Yeah, the smash burger is good. Yeah.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Michael in Clarksville texting in. My thoughts on next season are that the core that is left will be very uncomfortable. Two fan favorites and great locker room guys have already left in Arvidsson and Pekka. But that being said, you don't grow and become better unless you are uncomfortable. I think certainly a lot of change heading into next year already with Arvidsson out and with Pekka out as well. And, Joe, as you said earlier, more change still to come for this group with the expansion draft a week from today.
Yeah, how it much? I don't know. There could be a lot of change.
Could be.
Or there could be not as much change as they'd like.
You know, there's a growing sense.
Yeah, there's a growing sense.
Some people could be unprotected.
Here's a thought. Yeah. I mean, you think about with Pecorine, you're talking about the greatest player in franchise history at the most important position. Yes, having transitioned to the backup role, but also like the universally liked person, not only in the locker room, but the whole building, right?
Yeah.
That's a loss.
It's a big
By
loss.
By the way. There's a growing sentiment that that's a bit of a loss to the Preds.
That's a bit of a loss. Jay on the text line, or excuse me, Jane on the text line. I have a 9-year-old that plays in the National Youth Hockey League here in town and plays goalie because of Pekka. So for me, it would be the role model influence on young kids. Wishing him all the best because he's going to be missed. There was a typo there that said going to be nasty,
yeah.
But missed was the word that was used. That was intention. That was the intention.
Yeah. So that's what I said in response. We finally have a negative
finally
comment.
A negative
nasty
comment.
Pecorine.
I like
Still
it.
Still waiting, everybody. We got a little more than 3 hours. Let's hear your awful Pecorine stories.
I don't think they exist.
I mean, he must have forgotten to tip someone, right?
I don't think so, man.
Like, you know, didn't leave a penny in the penny thing at the gas station. I mean, something.
Like, it was interesting, though.
Didn't pull through.
Maybe not.
I heard Chase McCabe talking about that the other day.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a big believer in that. Didn't pull through
at the gas station.
Yeah.
He was in a hurry to get to morning skate. Just
something.
Took up a gas pump. Yeah. Maybe so. I'm sure something happened at some point here negatively with Pecorine. It was interesting. We've talked so much about where he was drafted. So the 8th round, it doesn't exist anymore. Obviously, that's not a formula for long-term success, is just hoping you find your superstar players in the 8th round. But there was an interesting kind of story on how he even got to that point and how immediately watching him on the ice, Barry Trotz and Mitch Korn, the goaltender coach at the time, knew that they had something special within 5 minutes of seeing him. And Barry Trotz joined Darren Donick and Chase yesterday to talk about the first time that he saw Pecorine on the ice and when he knew that maybe something special could be there. Here's what former Predators coach, current coach of the New York Islanders, Barry Trotz, had to say yesterday on Darren Donick and Chase.
It was the first time seeing Pekka. We had a number of goalies. I think we had 5 or 6 in for a rookie camp. And I remember Pekka in net. I was with Mitch Korn standing right behind the net at the practice facility. And Pekka had still had his Finnish equipment on with all the writing on it. And he gets a net and we're standing there and I said, which goaltender is this? And Mitch goes, Pecorine. And we watched probably 5 minutes and we looked at each other and we just said, he's the best of all of them. He's going to make it.
And, wow.
I remember that Mitch and me and Mitch sitting there. The thing that stood out was a couple things, size and athleticism that was off the charts, a little bit wild, and that was Mitch's job to sort of bring all those elements together.
So that was Barry Trotz yesterday, and he went on and on about Pecorine, and we know Barry Trotz. He can talk for a long time, and it was cool to hear him on the show yesterday, but I mean, just the rare combination of the size, the athleticism, and as he pointed out there, just how raw he was to start. Like, Mitch Korn, number one, he's a great goalie coach. I mean, I think it's obvious at this point, just given his track record, how good of a coach he is. There's a lot to work with there with Pecorine, but also, I mean, a very raw guy, and it took a while to develop there. And we were having a discussion last week, Joe, with Adam Vingan, and this was kind of revolving around the forward part of this, but it is amazing to think about, you know, the greatest players in Predators franchise history, however you want to identify them. Pecorine, 8th-round pick. Shea Weber, 2nd-round pick. Roman Josi, 2nd-round pick. Like, there's not very many first-round picks that you would identify, and we talked about last week, the Predators, to their credit, have never really been bad enough to get some of those top level first round guys, and maybe at some point that's going to have to change. David Beauclair thinks that's going to have to change. Like, you've got to be bad in order to truly be a Stanley Cup contender. To me, Pecorine is probably the greatest example of development, and they have been so good at developing these goaltenders and these defensemen. Can you find a way to do that at forward? This to me is proof that it doesn't necessarily have to be a top pick. You've just got to find a way to identify the right guys at forward and develop those guys. And they've been awesome at that at goalie. They've been awesome at that with defensemen. Still a little bit of work to be done at forward.
Yeah, it's kind of apples and oranges though, right?
Yeah. But you could argue it's harder to find a goalie that way, right? I mean, they've had a lot of first-round picks with goalies that, I mean, Chet Pickard, Brian Finley in the first round that never worked out. Then you find this guy in the 8th round.
But there are a lot of teams that don't have a first round goalie pan out.
Sure.
Like, you go through the list of goalies across the NHL, they're all over the board.
Yeah.
They really are.
Yeah.
Which is amazing given it's the most important position.
Well, right. They're just
it's hard. It's hard to know.
They just take longer to develop.
Yeah.
Like, they're not as seasoned as they should be at 18 or 19 years old when they first get drafted, like forwards and defensemen are.
And look, I mean, with him, obviously, some of his success story is the intangibles, the personality, right, that helped. I mean, we know how, especially later in his career, how hard he had to work to maintain that level. So that's something that you hope you can identify, but it's not easy. I mean, what's the name of the Finnish scout? I mean, he probably can't be mentioned enough here, but I mean, you remember
Jani Kekalainen.
Jani Kekalainen. There you go. Very good. Both of you. Exactly. I mean, that's a big and Pecorine is kind of a story like a Matt Cassel or something like that, right? It's just he happens to be backing up a really good goalie, and so some people just aren't even able to evaluate him much. I mean, it's a heck of a find.
Josh on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. If the Predators can make a run to the Stanley Cup and win it in the next few years, do you think it's possible they could sign Pekka to a 1-day contract? So he can actually get his name on the cup? Probably not.
No.
Nah.
I don't think it's a nice thought either.
Yeah, it's a nice thought, but
yeah, there's like a qualification process.
Yeah.
To get your name on the cup.
Well, yeah, like you've got to play in
right.
the playoffs or play a certain amount in the regular season. Yeah.
Right.
So even if they sign him, it wouldn't. Let's say put him in there.
Like if the Preds
put him in there and win, yeah.
Right. If the Preds had won the cup this year, David Ferentz wasn't getting his name on the cup.
No. I mean, you can petition, but no.
Okay.
So probably not going to happen on that front.
He's a fan now.
Let's go back to the text line. Kyle texting in. The only negative thing with Pekka is that he robbed player after player of easy goals throughout his career.
Oh, there you go.
There you go. That's a pretty good one. I think that's true. Maybe that's the only negative thing you can find, and that's from an outsider. Like a different team. That's the negative on Pecorine.
3 hours left. There's something.
See if we can get to the bottom of this. Coming up next, could there be another step left to take for Pecorine in his hockey career? We'll get to that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.